Just a little note about this passage from Corinthians, where we see Paul doing what he does all the time, which is paralleling the figure of Adam, in whom, as Paul will write, we've all sinned, and contrasting it with the figure of Jesus, who is the beginning of a totally new humanity. That's why Paul's preferred way of talking about Christ is as the new Adam. Remember, he did not think Jesus was divine. He just thought Jesus was the perfect human being who fulfilled what God intended when she made human beings. Okay. So today is the Feast of Christ the King, the last day of the liturgical year. A feast fraught with problems. Ever since I was ordained a long time ago, this text has struck me as one of the most important, if not the most important, in the entire New Testament. Again, this is the judgment scene. It is on the basis of this that God will say, you have fulfilled your humanity or have failed your humanity. And it is also important to keep in mind this notion of Christ as king is a drastically different notion than what we have of kingship as usual. If you want a sort of shortcut way to get to the figure of what Jesus' kingship looked like, look at the washing of the feet. Or the Eucharist, which are inseparable, of course. This radical self-donation. In other words, it doesn't have anything to do with majesty or pomp and circumstance or trumpets or cymbals or timpani blaring away. It has to do with being available to the world. And above all, to the marginalized. Jesus himself, of course, was marginalized. That famous multi-volume study of Christ by great New Testament scholars. It refers to Jesus as the marginal Jew. Jesus on the edges. Which means what? Jesus on the edge of our consciousness, huh? We're all into glory, I think. I mean, just look at church services. They're into glory. It is kind of overwhelming. Overweening, overpowering sense of might. That's not what this is about at all, at all. To say that Christ is king is to say that the action of God in transforming us is present perfectly in this human being. And that's what we're called to. Transforming us from what? Being glory seekers. To being available to everybody. That and that alone is the proper understanding of Christ as King. And anything else is distraction or baloney or sheer nonsense. In other words, what we have here is exactly what we have all over the New Testament, a radical redefinition of power, of authority, of service, of everything. This inversion of values. And the most wonderful thing about this passage is that these people didn't do this. Were not responsive to whoever they saw in need in their world because they were going to get points with God. They just did it. There's this magnificent freedom. I just go through the world and see people sick in jail. And I respond to them. Full stop. And that's what is supposed to be the criterion on which we are to be judged by God. That radical freedom, that radical openness to everybody. But it's also interesting to ask a further question. What is missing from this big long list of stuff? Sick, in jail, stranger, blah, blah, blah. There's not a word said about sex, by the way. folks, please note, not a word said about sex or sexual orientation or sexual behavior. Not a word, not a word. And if we look at the great sort of litmus test of being a Catholic today, this is quite shocking, you know. Not a word about abortion. Not a word about homosexuality. Nothing. It just doesn't enter Jesus' purview. But rather this, as I said, this radical freedom which opens us to the world in its woundedness. This is the judgment. This is the judgment. This is not some kind of thing, a long list of stuff about church stuff. It doesn't say, did you sign the right doctrinal statements? Do you assert this dogma? Do you recognize this authority? Do you use this translation rather than this translation? Nothing. Nothing about any of that. In fact, it works precisely the other way. You could do all this proper ecclesiastical stuff and still turn out to be radically indifferent to the world. As long as you've dotted your ecclesiastical I's and crossed your T's. Finally, something else that is extremely important with this text. There's been all kinds of noise made about the fact that our liturgy is missing the mystery. I love that phrase. The liturgy is no longer mysterious. What's the mystery? Where's the mystery located? The Greek word mysterion just means something hidden. Something hidden. It doesn't mean speaking in a foreign language that virtually nobody understands. It does not mean that. It does not mean mystification, where we sit and scratch our heads about what this is all supposed to mean. No, the meaning here is eminently clear. I was sick and you visited me. I was in jail and you came and saw me. So where do we locate the mystery? What is mysterious here? What is hidden here? It's very simple. How do I get from who I am and how I am to being this free and responsive? That's the mystery. That's the mystery. And God as mystery is mysterious precisely in that it is this God who works this mysterious transformation in me. And that alone, I can't say it more. I mean, there's the text, folks. There's the figure of Jesus. Jesus didn't go around saying, oh, we got to be mysterious, you know. We got to wear funny clothes. We got to speak in a funny language. We got to use funny ceremonies. No, none of that rubbish, which is a displacement, a distraction from what is truly mysterious. Again, we're talking about the judgment. We're talking about the ultimate assessment of the quality of our human existence here. In other words, there's no other criterion for judging us than the criteria that Matthew leaves with us. And there's no other real location. Mystery is not mystification, folks. Although it's promoted that way, it seems to me very often. Mystification just means I'm going to confuse, I'm going to conceal something. No. Mystification is a dehumanizing gesture, I would suggest to you. Distracting us from the truth. Misleading us into something else. That does not transform our humanity. So we have to be extraordinarily careful. It's an important day. Jesus on his knees, washing those guys' feet. Jesus in the Eucharist, donating himself to everybody, to all comers. That wonderful line from Baudelaire, God is the great prostitute, available to all comers. That's mysterious. I mean, if you want to find out what is mystery, how do we get to that freedom? How do we get to that radical responsiveness to the world? And who will transform us to that? That's where the mystery lies.